drop of rain that falls, a flower grows.
Dum da da dum dum. Dum 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 da 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 da. Doctor No. First and best of the Bond films, in my opinion. I nearly said humble opinion, but whose opinion is humble when it comes to the things they love? Sean Connery understands. Let me take you back to a lunch I had in 1992 with my old pal Sean. You say that, but in my opinion, Doctor No's the first and best.
Well, it's certainly the first.
Oh, come on, it's your greatest performance, and you know it.
You don't rate me in Goldfinger or Thunderball?
You're such a natural, physical actor. The way you threw that man out of that window.
Did I throw a man out of a window? I don't remember that.
You're always throwing men out of windows. You, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Van Damme, Vin Diesel, Jason Statham. You all have this genius for throwing men out of windows. Angelina Jolie, she's another.
Gentlemen, are you ready to order?
Now, I'll have the fillet steak, rare, with chips and green beans, and he'll have the corn-fed chicken with Lyonnaise potatoes and shaved fennel. Won't you?
Yes, Sean.
You got that, darling?
Yes, sir.
Shave it close as you like. He loves a close-shaved fennel, don't you?
That's right, Sean. That's right, Sean. How many times in my life have I said that? He takes charge, you see. The masterful Sean. The Seanmeister. 00 Sexy. My old friend and rival. Rivals. Love them or hate them. Love them and hate them. You can't live without them. I can't. You're listening to Believe It, the radiography of me, Richard Wilson. This is my radio life story. Willie Thompson was my first rival for the love of Susan Miller. She was a pretty little thing. Willie was neither pretty nor little. His mouth was always open, even when he wasn't using it. He looked like a fish. I was sensitive. That's what Susan liked about me. But Willie was a big brute. That's what she liked about him. Do you know what she once said to us? Together you'd make the perfect man. What kind of 10-year-old says things like that? Susan was the best friend of my sister, Sheena.
My turn!
They played hopscotch on the pavement outside our house. We lived at number 5, Susan lived at number 7, and Willie Thompson, dammit, lived at number 9. Willie used to walk her to school every Monday morning while I stared at them from the doorstep, my heart breaking, holding Albert the cat.
Morning, Richard! Morning, Albert!
There you are, can hear that, can't we? A spit! What? Yeah!
Oh, that's disgusting!
Liked it though, didn't you?
I dried the cat's eye with my hanky. Then I followed them. I trailed behind Susan and Willie all the way to school. But on Tuesday morning, oh, sweet revenge. I walked Susan to school with Willie behind us. I didn't spit at cats. I recited the poetry of Walter Scott.
Breathes there the man with soul so dead, who never to himself hath said,
rubbish!
Monday and Wednesday, Willie walked her to school. Tuesday and Thursday, I did. That left Friday. Who'd walk her to school on Fridays? One evening, after school, the three of us stayed behind in the classroom to sort it out.
You can arm wrestle.
Yeah.
Only you have to use your wrong hand, Willie, because you're bigger and stronger than Richard.
Thank you, Susan. That's half a kind.
She wanted me to win. That much was clear. Willie and I put our elbows on the desk. He clasped my left hand in his left hand and pushed with all his might. With his wrong hand, Willie Thompson broke my wrist. I didn't tell on him, though. There's rivalry and there's keeping your mouth shut. And I grew up in the days of the shut mouth. Next morning, an assembly, Miss Dougal, the headmistress, made an announcement.
Richard Wilson fell from a tree yesterday and broke his wrist. Until his wrist is better, Richard Wilson will have to write with his left hand. His writing will be slow and spidery. None of you is to laugh at it. Put up your hand if you know what we call a person who can write with either hand.
Miss! Miss!
Yes, Richard Wilson?
Bisexual, Miss Dougal.
I sat there, getting redder and redder. Willie was laughing, and Susan was laughing. After assembly, she wrote her name in my plaster cast. She even drew a heart shape beside it. Bliss. There was still a chance she preferred me to my rival.
Hey, Wilson! Come here!
Where's it?
Look at this!
The day after I broke my wrist, the three of us went down to the river. It was a summer's day in June. There were a lot of flies. I prayed that two of them would fly into Willie's mouth and breed. Susan and I ran to see what the fuss was about. It was a dead sheep.
Ugh! It's got a hole in it!
Don't look!
Willie stood behind Susan, very close, and put both hands over her eyes.
Oh, it tickles!
What tickles? That's what I wanted to shout.
Animals have eaten a hole in it.
What's in the hole?
Willie didn't answer. Susan didn't know it, but Willie had his eyes shut too. I'd found his weakness. Willie Thompson was frightened of dead sheep with holes. Because he was frightened, I couldn't be.
There's blood and organs and so on.
Why are you whistling?
Because I'm not scared.
I want the heart.
Yeah, I'll get it for you.
Oh, you don't dare.
Watch me.
Oh, the irony. Telling Willie to watch me knowing he had his eyes shut. Rivals hate irony. They can't punch irony or sit on irony's head or break irony's wrist. I took out my penknife and I went into that hole and I delivered. I put the sheep's heart in her hand.
Ugh, it feels all slimy.
What else would you like? What about a lung?
Listen to me. A lung, as if I knew where the lung was. That heart was just random in it.
I'm not playing this anymore. It's not scary enough.
But where are you going?
You'll see.
Do you want to go to the pictures tonight?
What is it?
Great Expectations.
Is that a Western?
Yeah.
But she wasn't listening. She was watching Willie climb onto the bridge over the river.
He's daring me to jump in.
You don't know how deep it is.
I'm not scared. He's scared. Hey, Wilson, you wouldn't do it.
I can't, I broke my wrist.
You broke my wrist. Willie Thompson's big ugly face was contorted with contempt. Did he jump off that bridge for love of Susan Miller? No, he jumped off that bridge for hatred of me. And he died as he lived, with his mouth open.
Dream.
A week later, Susan and I met on the bridge. She weighed down a daisy chain with stones to mark the spot from which he'd jumped. Inside my pocket, my good hand was sweating. I was clutching a gold effect heart-shaped locket engraved with an S from the Greenock branch of Woolworths.
This is for you. I bought it with my pocket money. It's like it. You like hearts, didn't you?
It's not bad.
You going to put it on?
Of course not. Widows can't wear jewellery. Don't you know anything?
What had I ever seen in her? I only wanted Susan Miller because my rival wanted her. And now he was gone.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail.
You're listening to Believe It, the radiography of me, Richard Wilson. It's the spring of 1953. I'm 16 and I'm learning to speak with the help of my elocution teacher, Miss Hetty McBain.
How much is that doggy in the window.
Give me clarity. Give me feeling. Give me beautiful vowels.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Window.
The one with the waggly tail.
Waggly, waggly.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Better.
I do hope that doggy's for sale.
Once more, let me hear the hope.
I do hope that doggy's for sale.
No, no, don't stress the word. Stress the thing itself. Let me hear hope oozing out of your body.
I do hope that doggy's for sale.
Yes. You have moved me, Richard Wilson!
Thank you, Miss Hetty.
You have a great sensitivity to language and a considerable gift for mimicry. But your posture, oh dear! Look at that African woman. Do you see the way she stands?
She pointed at a painting of an African woman with a bare bosom and a pot on her head. As she looked at this woman, Miss Hetty's tongue flicked out like a lizard's.
Look how erect she holds herself to balance that pot. Look how she lets the sun and the wind and the light get to her chest. African women have perfect diction on account of their posture. Did you know that?
I did not, Miss Hetty.
Do you know what she carries in that pot?
No, Miss Hetty.
You're my favourite pupil, so I'll tell you. A man's private parts. She's killed him and cut off his private parts to boil them up for soup.
She's a cannibal?
No, no. They eat body parts. She just boils them up, then discards them. That's not cannibalism. That's domestic science.
It was her next pupil 5 minutes early. That's how I met him.
Enter!
Oh, you're with someone. So sorry to interrupt.
No, no. Richard, this is Sean, my favourite pupil. Isn't he gorgeous?
That's right. She was Scotland's greatest lesbian. Except when she looked at gorgeous Sean, her favourite pupil. Had I not been her favourite pupil before he walked in?
Sean, why don't you do your doggy for Richard?
My pleasure, Miss Hetty. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
Bravo!
I hated him immediately. Where was the waggly? Where was the hope? She didn't interrupt him once.
Did you see that, Richard Wilson?
See what, Miss Hetty?
The posture. Sean holds himself so beautifully.
That's kind of you to say so, Miss Hetty. I hold myself whenever I can. Of course, everything I know about posture, I learned from that African woman with the private parts in the pot.
As he said this, Sean gave me a little smile that said, yes, she truly is a mad old bat. Miss Hetty McBain made us rivals, but she also made us friends. After that, Sean was a regular visitor to 5 Dunlop Road, Greenock. My sisters were very impressed. He'd seen the world. He'd been in the Navy. He'd lived. My sister, Sheena, couldn't take her eyes off him.
Show us your tattoos again, Sean!
Sorry, I had them removed.
Ah, no you didn't! That's impossible! Take off your shirt!
Sean was a man's man who made me feel like a boy's boy. One night, I suggested we go down the pub. I wanted to be more like him, but it worked both ways. He envied my sensitivity to language. That night, in the pub, he recited Wordsworth's A Solitary Lass.
Behold her, single in the field, yon solitary Highland lass, reaping and singing by herself.
You sound like you're trying to pick her up.
She's a solitary lass.
And that ish sound, you have to get rid of that.
You're right. I'm not as good at speaking verse as you are. Sheena told me you're going to be an electrical engineer. Don't you want to be an actor?
It's not safe.
Why the elocution lessons then?
So I can talk to other electrical engineers? The life of an actor's the life of a gypsy, that's what my mother says.
Your mother? What's wrong with the life of a gypsy? I've made love to a gypsy on the bank of a river. Has your mother ever done that?
I'll ask her.
If you're a real man, you'll be an actor.
I didn't see him again for years. Sure enough, I moved down to London and worked for an electrical engineering firm. One day, I got a postcard forwarded to me by my mother. As I read it, I could hear gypsy music play.
Dear Richard, how are you? I'm making a film with Lana Turner. It's called Another Time, Another Place. I play a war correspondent. How's the electrical engineering?
And then, in 1961, I got this.
Dear Richard, how are you? I'm making Dr. No with Ursula Andress. It's a Bond film. I play Bond, James Bond. How's the electrical engineering?
Were these postcards sent by a rivalrous man? Or was he simply giving me the facts? When I got the Bond film postcard, I couldn't sleep. I was so churned up. I lay there in my bed, in my Kilburn bedsit, with my eyes open. When I shut them, all I saw was Sean's face. At 4 in the morning, I got up and started walking. By dawn, I found myself on Waterloo Bridge. A bridge, of course. My rivals always threw themselves off bridges. Was it my turn now? I stared into the River Thames and saw the reflection of a gypsy woman. She looked into my eyes and into my future.
Richard, you must go to drama school. Be an actor. Take a small part in Dixon of Dock Green. All this you must do to be a real man.
Like Sean?
Like Sean. You want to make love to me on the bank of the river, like Sean?
Too late. She was gone. She was right, though. I did go to drama school. I did leave. I did become an actor. I wasn't offered a part in Dixon of Dock Green, but a gypsy fortune teller should get something wrong that makes her more human and less tricksy, don't you think? As an actor, I'm not in pursuit of fame or money. I'm in pursuit of truth. And the truth is, I'm every bit as good as Sean. And that's why, in 1972, after Diamonds Are Forever, when Sean retired as Bond, I gave your man a call. Mention me.
How do you mean?
Mention me.
You're asking me to mention you?
I am.
You mean mention you with a view to, perhaps?
Yes. Could you do that for me, Sean? For Hetty McBain's sake? For my sister Sheena's sake?
She was a lovely girl.
Still is. Will you do it, Sean? Will you? He did it all right. I got the call. On the 12th of March, 1972, I found myself in the Mayfair office of a Hollywood film producer.
Good to meet you, Richard. Sean mentioned you.
Really? Did he?
Yeah. I hear you guys grew up together.
We did. We had the same teacher, as a matter of fact. A woman by the name of...
That's great. Okay, stand up, look me in the eye, and tell me your name.
Okay. Hello. I'm Richard Wilson.
Jeez, not your name.
Oh, sorry. You mean in character. Right.
Yeah.
This is still me. I'm not in character yet. I'll be in character after three. I'll say one, then two, and three will be silent.
Just do it.
Absolutely.
Yes?
Sorry. One, two.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
What was that? You think you're the new Sean Connery?
I know I am. I'm younger than him. I'm literally newer.
Okay, listen. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for leaving.
What a fool. I tried to be someone else. That never works, does it? But I was glad. Believe me, I was glad I couldn't be James Bond. It's my wrist, you see. The one Willie Thompson broke. It never healed. Not properly. I just can't throw men out of windows. I resolved to let Sean enjoy his successes, and I would enjoy mine.
And the winner is Richard Wilson!
1992, 20 years later, when I won the BAFTA, it was Sean who called me.
Richard, you're... Bastard.
Ha! Very good.
What are you doing Friday week? I'm taking you out to lunch.
One corn-fed chicken with Lyonnaise potatoes and closely shaved fennel.
Thank you very much.
And one steak.
Thank you, darling.
Anything else I can bring you, gentlemen?
Oh, that's fine, darling.
May I just say thank you for all the pleasure you've given me over the years.
You may, darling.
I was talking to Mr. Wilson, sir.
Of course, sir.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Bon appetit, gentlemen.
I'm so sorry, Richard. I'm just a vain old man.
You're not old. You're what? 60, 61, 62? For a long time, I wanted to be you. Did you know that? Every part you got, I thought it should have gone to me.
Seriously?
Absolutely. Then I realized I can't do what you do.
No, no. It's the other way around. I can't do what you do. The way you play comedy. Brilliant.
Well, that means a lot coming from you.
Coming from me? What are you talking about? I can't do comedy like you can.
Well, I can't throw men out of windows.
You know what I love about the way you play comedy?
Tell me.
There's no sentiment. You don't try and get us on your side. You simply present us with the character.
Well, that's very generous.
No, it's not. It's a fact. It's one of the finest performances in the history of the sitcom.
Enough.
I could never have done it. Whatever they said.
What?
No.
Whatever who said?
Forget it.
What do you mean? Tell me.
It's nothing, really. It was never going to work.
What wasn't?
It's not worth talking about. Like you say, use what we're given.
I didn't say that.
Well, you should have. I was given different things from you. Different body, different voice, different sexual energy. More wine?
I don't drink, you know that.
Yes, well, I'll pour one for me then. Are you going to take a holiday this year?
Tuscany, September. Sorry, are you saying you were...
I'm not saying anything, really. Nothing. I knew it wasn't for me.
What wasn't?
I need that giant image, you know? I just don't work on the small screen.
So you are saying something, aren't you? What are you saying?
Okay, you forced it out of me. Look, they offered me the part. Not offered. They sounded me out. They took me out to lunch. They gave me food. They gave me wine. They gave me coffee.
I know what lunch is.
Calm yourself. It was nothing. They took me out to lunch. It was here in front.
Nothing.
And they told me about this Meldrew character. And I said, look, that doesn't sound like me. And they said, it'll stretch you. It'll be a wonderful challenge. You know what they say when they're desperate to get you? Well, not desperate, but they'd really love you to...
Stop saying they. Who is they?
I don't know. They.
Were they wearing masks?
Okay. He took me out to lunch.
Oh, it's he now. There was one of them. Who's he then? Spit it out.
Look, the head honcho offered me Victor, and I said no. Can we talk about something else now?
You mean the head of Light Entertainment?
No, the one above him.
The controller?
Yes. No, the one above him.
There's no one above him. You mean the Pope?
Let's not be facetious. The Director General.
The Director General?
Don't shout, for God's sake. Eat your chicken and enjoy it, man. This is your day. You won a BAFTA. Now, come on. With that in mind, give me a hug. Come on. Get up. Give me a hug for Hetty McBain's sake. Come on.
Come on.
Get on your feet and give me a hug. Come on now.
Give me a hug. That's what my rivals are like. Sean, Willie Thompson, they're physical. An hour later, we were in the changing room of the Porchester Baths, about to have a sauna. But I was ready. Oh, yes. I'd spent weeks in the gym getting ready for this moment.
Six-pack. You've been working on that, haven't you?
A small thing, but mine own.
I'm reluctant to take my shirt off now.
But you will.
Eh? What do you think? Not bad for an old chap, eh?
For the second time that day, I felt sick. I didn't envy him his magnificent chest. No, I had one of my own. It was what was dangling on that chest. A locket. A heart-shaped locket engraved with an S.
Who gave you that, Sean?
That would be telling.
What's the S stand for?
Sean.
No, it doesn't. You lying bastard. It stands for Susan Miller. Is there nothing of mine you can't have?
Jesus!
I only meant to grab the locket, but he slipped and fell, and I found myself sitting on his chest. I didn't know what I was doing till I heard him choking. I was strangling Sean Connery. Willie Thompson had killed himself, but Sean would never do that. I had to help him. I was squeezing and squeezing, strangling and strangling. Then, Willie Thompson came to Sean's rescue. My rival saved my rival. It was my wrist, you see. It wasn't strong enough. I had to strangle Sean with one hand, happily, for both of us. I found that a tad impossible.
What the hell was that about?
I can explain. It's never easy explaining to a man why you've tried to kill him. And of course, it made no sense to Sean. He'd never met Susan Miller. It was my sister Sheena who'd given him that locket. Susan Miller must have given it to Sheena, who gave it to Sean. Don't make me envy what they shared. Sheena and Sean. My sister and Sean. Don't make me go down that dark river. Instead, let us celebrate. I didn't kill Sean Connery. How many men can say that? I didn't strangle a national treasure. I thought he'd never speak to me again. But then, in the summer of 2000, he sent me another postcard.
Dear Richard, are we still at war?
And signed himself.
Your friend and enemy, Sir Sean.
When I say he signed himself Sir Sean, well, he didn't write S-I-R in a black squiggle as if it was part of his name. That would be ridiculous. He signed himself Sean, as always, and wrote Sir in big capital letters before it. Underlined. I've got an OBE, you know. Maybe one day I too will get a knighthood for services to rivalry. You've been listening to Believe It, the radiography of me, Richard Wilson. I would like to thank my actor friends for their help in this endeavour. Lewis MacLeod, John Sessions, Jane Slaven, David Tennant and Arabella Weir. I'd also like to thank my ghost writer, John Cantor, and my producer, Clive Brill of Pacificus Productions. And our hosts, BBC Radio 4. One more thing. Every word you've heard is true. Or is it? Or is it? Believe.